broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. LibertyRoundtable.com. Our goal to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property. This is the broadcast for December 8th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is hour two of two. We've got Stuart Rhodes in an elongated interview. Stuart Rhodes, oathkeepers.org. Interview continued. Do you want the truth of what's actually happening on the border, folks? Ignore the mainstream press political theater. Ignore Donald Trump. You might mean well. Don't know yet. I'd like to sit down with him to find that out. Except the only people that could sit down with Donald seem to be the mainstream press that he calls an enemy of the people. He ought to sit down with a couple of friends once in a while. Maybe Sam and Stuart could help Donald get caught up to speed, and maybe we could take action and really get a real report of what's happening on the border. I'm begging for that opportunity, Donald. Get a hold of me, bro. You know how. It's pretty easy. LibertyRoundtable.com. And Stuart Rhodes would love to sit down with you as well, and we can talk about what's really happening on the border. So last hour, we covered a lot of ground. Basically, the border leaks like a sieve. We're being lied to that, you know what, they're strengthening the border. This political theater, this deception about, hey, you know, Donald's stopping everybody and won't let anybody come in, and this asylum and all that. It's all a big old show, folks. Okay? Yeah, there is a caravan there. That's all true. Yes, there are. Where the caravans are, there's walls. Yes, people are being stupid and climbing a wall and falling off and getting hurt and all that. That's all true. I'm not saying that's a lie. I'm just saying that isn't the story, right? The story is the border's what? How long is it, Stuart? A couple of thousand miles long?
Yes, thousands of miles long. And other than, you know, a few pockets here and there of concentrated activity, it's wide open. You know, it's just a joke. It really is. And that's nothing against the Border Patrol agents. They're just overwhelmed.
Well, they're doing the best they can, given the circumstances. Like, I don't blame a guy that went to Vietnam either.
Yeah, same thing. They're it's a very good analogy. What's that one grunt going to do when his leadership is not doing the right thing? And you know, they're not using the right strategy.
All right, so this brings up the question of, like, Ramos and Campion. You remember those guys in the days of old, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. They were good guys trying to do something on the border. They literally got arrested, tossed in the clink. The drug cartel guy went kind of free running around across the border over and over. And it was very difficult to even get Ramos and Campion a fair reality check and out of jail, much less. Yeah. Is that what's happening here, too, where Border Patrol agents just don't dare really make serious efforts because they'll get shut down by their superiors or what?
I think there's less fear of that with Trump in office. I think they feel more optimistic about, you know, that someone's got their back. I think they're right. So I think they're much more likely to do their job now, for sure. So no, I think they're okay. The problem is, this is not enough of them. That's just the bottom line.
Yeah. And the other problem, though, is I don't think that we're using really the air like you guys want to at Oath Keepers. They're not really using the air to take it. Does the Border Patrol have a lot of air?
They have some, but they only have so many choppers, and they can only do so many flights, and that's it.
They could do more if we'd shut down the foreign aid to Mexico and use the money for that purpose. They could do more if we'd get out of the 130-plus nations we're involved militarily speaking, right?
Absolutely. They should have the 101st Airborne flying up and down the border. That's what they should be doing. But with, you know, they can just land the guys, and they can jump out and chase down the drug cartel mules or the illegals, and they're detain them. Like, they should be using air assets. That's right. Chopper-borne troops.
How hard would it really be to shut down the cartels?
Not with easy with the U.S. military. And you know, the Marine Corps and the, like I said.
Easy if we're serious, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the cartels aren't going to scare a bunch of Marines. Bring it on. You know, they'll shut them down right away. In fact, one way to handle this asylum-seeking issue is that, you know, we could send the military into Mexico and say, we're going to clean up northern Mexico.
All right, let me just stop you there for a second, because I had proposed this a couple of months ago when this cartel was coming. I said, look, if they breach the border from Nicaragua to Mexico to wherever along the way, Honduras, to, why don't we just call the Mexican government up, and the president there, and Donald say, listen, we're asking, these illegals entered your country illegally. You can't obviously handle it or control it. Either you can't or you will not. I don't know which it is. I'm not here to debate that. Just telling you. It's not happening. We want permission to enter your country as the military. We will absolutely stop them. We will absolutely infiltrate them. We will find out who the families are who truly need asylum in Mexico. We'll help them with that. We will then basically apprehend these criminals, and we will separate everybody. We'll find out who's really sick and who needs medical attention, and we'll really just infiltrate this. You could have, you know, 1,000 military people just dropped right in the middle of that, quote, caravan, cartel, I don't know what you want to call it, and you could literally vet who's who in about a day or two. And then you could basically take action based on people's real intent. There are good people there who mean well, who do want a better life. Now, I know they got to do it legally, but you can't blame them for trying them. And I might swim the river if I had to, if I wanted a better life. It's hard to blame them is what I'm getting at. But yet we could have solved this in about 5 seconds by doing that. I talked about this on the radio in detail. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, or even broader. I mean, just as in northern Mexico, you had bandits running those areas, and back in Pershing's day, you know, Blackjack Pershing went across, you know, punitive expedition against them. Same thing here. The cartels run northern Mexico. So the Mexican government has lost control of their own territory and lost local control of the northern areas. So U.S. military should build across the border and take it to the cartels, kick their asses, and take names, you know. And then, like you said, then he could even set up a DMZ on the Mexican side. This has been proposed before. I think it was General Galloway, retired general, proposed much the same thing.
And he's right. But we could also, even in the caravans, though, you could drop a few special op people in there that could vet out who's who in about 5 seconds, right?
Sure. I mean, you could do that. I mean, if the issue is once you crack U.S. soil, then the judges here will say, well, they have, you know, full due process rights, American citizens, and they can be released.
Not if we consider them enemy combatants, which they are, sir. American citizens are being called enemy combatants. Look at what happened to the Hammonds. They called them terrorists for lighting a fire. It was an enemy combatant scenario. Okay, let's just call these people enemy combatants, which many of them are, until we prove differently, and treat them as such.
Well, I think the better answer is to stop them in Mexico. That's what I'm saying.
Well, of course. I'm just saying once they land here, rather than having judges say they have full immunity and full due process. No, I don't think so. We don't have to go that line. But I agree we shouldn't have them end up here in the first place.
Right. So if necessary, we'll go into Mexico 5-10 miles and create a DMZ there. So that's what should be done. This is what he can do right now as the commander-in-chief. That's where we're at. But the whole backdrop to this, though, is the – like you were talking about earlier, is the internal domestic enemies of the Constitution and the radical communists on the left want. This is kind of like a Clara Priven's strategy here to overwhelm the system, overwhelm our political system, and bring in illegal voters. That's what they're really doing.
So how much do you think this is backed by, in other words, this continued breach of our border? As you mentioned, it's been going on for decades. Once in a while, America, through our history, has rose up and stopped it. Even in the 40s, I think it was around World War II the time, they had Operation Wetback, right?
Well, that was after World War II. That was Eisenhower, yeah.
Yeah, it was like the 1950s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they literally shut things down then. And you know, I know you can't say Operation Wetback or you're considered a racist, but that's what they called it. That was the term, okay? And the reality is, hey, they stopped it then. They just said, we're not doing that. Right?
And did mass deportations. Yeah.
And I think we need to do the same. How many illegals do you think are in America now? Any idea?
Best guess is probably 30 million.
Yeah, my guess has been 30 million as well. Some people say that I'm high, and I say I don't take drugs. But I say they're low when they want to play games. They don't know how many, do they?
No, they really don't. So I think the official number now, is, or they're admitting, is right about 22 million. I think it's higher than that. More like 30 to 40 million.
Wow. And it's getting worse every day is the point.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course it is.
All right. What about these countries that I mentioned last hour, right at the end of the hour? I said, hey, a lot of these countries are communist, whether it be Cubans, whether it be Venezuelans, whether it be, some of these countries. They literally don't like America. They're backed by, believe it or not, Russia and or China and or who knows who. And are they directly involved in many ways? I mean, in other words, if we take this on, we're not dealing with just the drug cartels. We might be dealing with other nations as well, right?
Well, yeah, and you're dealing with an international, you know, communist conspiracy, basically. You know, whether it's the people from Venezuela who are in league with the American communist or George Soros, you know, all of it ties together, and you know they all have the same agenda. It's the same agenda. You know, they believe in world communism. They really believe that.
Now, you know, Donald Trump and George Soros are good friends, right?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they are. In fact, George Soros helped Donald Trump build a bunch of hotels in Chicago. And when people brought up George Soros, Donald said, hey, leave him alone.
Huh, I didn't know that.
That's kind of an interesting twist that people need to understand. You know, I think Donald might mean well. I think he's got good intuition. He says a lot of the right things, and I think he gets a lot of it. What I don't think he understands, though, is he's got to break out of the circle of the swamp monsters literally whispering in his ear and saying, you can't do that, you can't do this, the Constitution won't let you do that, hey, you're going too far here, you'll lose the support of the nation if you do that. It goes on and on, right?
Yeah, I'm sure it does. It's the same thing happened to Reagan. They surrounded Reagan with neoconservative, you know, deep state guys. Look at Bush. That's what he was. You know, so Bush, Wolfowitz, Cheney, they were all right there around Reagan, confining him, containing him until he was gone. Same thing now.
And what we've got to do, folks, is somehow see if we can't get to President Trump and give him some guidance of what he could do. Because I'm telling you right now, I believe this nation is being destroyed not only because of people coming into the country illegally, there's many criminals, but the drug trade is just devastating our nation, sir.
Well, it certainly is. And I mean, this is what's so discouraging, is that we feel, you know, we don't have a George Soros on our side funding us. We get by with mom-and-pa donations. And here I am in this extremely wealthy state, all these rich oil people. None of them are ponying it up. You know, all these, there's like billionaires here all over the damn place. Do any of them ever donate to us? Nope. They just don't. So, you know, I think we're dealing with a situation where they've just given up. Or they just don't care anymore about their own country.
Yeah, people feel disenfranchised from the top to the bottom. That's the sad tale to tell. The good news is there's folks like Sam Bushman on your radio. There's people like Stuart Rhodes and Oath Keepers all over the border doing reconnaissance and making a difference to the best of our ability. And the best part about it is God's on our side. Oathkeepers.org. Stay there, Stuart. Quick pause. Sam on your radio.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. DefendAPatriot.com.
Steve Voss sings the song, ladies and gentlemen. Thank God for the Renegades. And amen to that. Patriot, Renegades. We need them. We're grateful for them. They put their lives on the line. They consider it a sacred duty. Can you imagine that in America? Honor, integrity, dedication, commitment. Guardians of the Republic. Oathkeepers.org is their website. Check it out. But Oathkeepers have a call to action. Border operation. A wall of troops. A wall of patriot volunteers. Oathkeepers and patriots, duty calls. You want the truth of what's really happening on the border? LibertyRoundtable.com. So it's just hard to fathom what's really going on here. But it's been broken for so long that many people just take it for, well, there's nothing we can do about it. They're disenfranchised. Others are trying to do something about it, but there's not near enough people, focus, real media telling the tale of liberty at all. What about rising risk of disease on the border? Is that a big problem?
Well, yeah, when you have people coming in who are not being vetted, not being screened, of course. You know, it's like in Arizona, I read an article about like 5,000, you know, quote-unquote refugees being brought into a church in the Phoenix area. And there's no way they were screened for any diseases. There's no way. So, yes, I think it is an issue. Absolutely.
Drug trade, rising risk of disease. What about people who are taken advantage of by coyotes and drug runners and people runners and slave trade? And are they left for dead oftentimes? I mean, do you have a lot of death on the border too?
Oh yeah, down in Arizona, this is, you know, there's thousands of bodies out in the desert. You know, that's what happens is coyotes will take their money and then they'll just abandon them, desert them out in the desert, and they'll get lost and they'll just die. So because they don't know where they're at, and then they're dealing with a, you know, pretty severe desert down there. So it happens, absolutely. And then, like I was saying earlier, you know, there's also the sex trade. You know, the girls are brought, they're captured or kidnapped in Mexico by the cartels, and then they're brought, smuggled across the border. They're beaten and raped and used as prostitutes in Mexico. Then they bring them across the border to the United States for the same purpose. You know, and a lot of these girls are underage girls. So it's you know, and they do that with kids too. So it's pretty well known that in Mexico there's children that are prostituted by the cartels. Well, why wouldn't they do that? They do all kinds of other stuff. So what would they, you know, it's not like they're going to go, oh, that's too far. We won't do that. They'll do anything for money. Anything that'll make a buck, they'll do it, and include sex slavery. And it's here in the United States as well, not just Mexico.
It makes you sick, primarily because when we speak out on this, all they try to do is they say we're crazy and we don't care about people.
Or we're racist or whatever. You know, and so the leftist country, it's very much like the blind eye they turn towards Islam and what it does to women, children. It's the same thing, you know, with the clitoral, they call it the circumcision. So they do that to the girls in these Islamic countries, and they abuse women and honor killings and all that. And the left turns a blind eye to that, because they see the Muslim immigration into Europe and the United States as a force multiplier for them. Same thing here. So they turn a blind eye to the cartels' abuses of women and children and the sex slavery, which is horrible. You know, it really is. They'll bring these girls across the border, and they're forced to service the illegal alien farm workers. And it's like 50 guys a night on one girl. It's just, imagine that kind of life. It's just horrible. You know, you're being raped 50 times every friggin' day.
How do we, because Donald has made these points, and one of the things that we can do, even if we can't meet with President Trump directly, one of the ways we could do this is we could highlight when Donald Trump makes a point. Donald Trump said there's drug traffickers, there's sex slave traffickers, there's,
right.
You know, okay, he's right. How do we force this into the mainstream press for fact and discussion? Because it would be very difficult if the mainstream press was challenged every single night when they say, oh, Donald's crazy, or oh, this and that. Hey, if we just put literal footage and or reality checks or people on the border testifying to what's happening or speaking out. And I mean, it reminds me of the days in the 94 Republican Revolution, how people would cover their faces and disguise their voices and say, the IRS is trying to kill me. And, you know, they had that kind of stuff. But at least it brought attention that with truth-based to some degree, right?
That's part of why we're doing what we're doing, is we want to bring more attention to the reality on the border and put some pressure on the president to do what's necessary. It's like, we shouldn't have to have volunteer pilots. It should be U.S. military pilots. You know, that's what should be going on. And it shouldn't be volunteer, you know, veterans on the ground, retired police officers and military veterans spotting and reporting. It should be the U.S. military. So, but as far as the abuses, there's mainstream articles written by leftist journalists all about the sex slavery and the trafficking of women and children. So I'll dig some up and send them to you, or post them on Oath Keepers when I have a chance.
Yeah, I think this is really important, because what I think Donald needs is support from us. And you guys put it so well, the Oath Keepers. It's like, hey, we need to support President Trump. And this is kind of what's interesting. They act like we're the bad guys, but we want to support the president of the United States. Oath Keepers and Patriots, duty calls. We must support President Trump. Okay, this would be a great way to support him when he makes a point. We just literally roll out the fact-based reality about what he's saying, where it's just not disputable.
Well, you'd think his own administration would do the same thing, but they don't.
Well, of course.
It shows you where the deep state's at. It's all around him. Like you said, he's been surrounded by swamp creatures.
Sex trafficking, ladies and gentlemen, is a serious threat to children at the border. This is serious.
And here. I mean, you know, come on. If they'll do it to Mexican kids, you think they won't do it to American kids when the money's there? Of course they will. They'll bring some blonde-haired, blue-eyed American child south of the border for some pedophile down there because he wants it. He orders it, special order, you know.
So we've started, I mean, the flood is coming north in terms of the drug cartels, the sex trafficking, the hostilities. Okay, right now we only really see it. No, I'm not saying it doesn't exist throughout the United States. It does, but it's on the down low. It's quiet. But on the borders, it's pretty open that people know that it can be violent, that it can be. How long will it be until these gangs and these drug traffickers literally start to make their presence known out in the open in every American city? They're there now. Don't fool yourself. But they're kind of at the down low. They don't have control enough to literally become bold and in your face like they will if we let this continue.
Yeah, it all depends on, you know, like in Mexico, the war between the cartels erupted into the streets. And, you know, before that, it was business as usual. Let the tourists come and do their tourist thing and let's not kill each other in the streets. But then they erupted into civil war. So that's what happens in failed states. And eventually will happen here, too. Yeah. They'll have some civil war somewhere or a war between the gangs or cartels in the streets. So look at Chicago. You know, it'll be like Chicago. It'll be other places. Violence in the streets.
Except it'll be up and ante because we've armed and trained and this stuff to where it'll be more high tech. It'll be more in your face. It'll be greater weapons, greater coordination, greater communications, greater. I'm telling you right now, we ain't seen nothing yet, people. And we can pretend this ain't happening and play games with political theater. But the reality is at some point this is going to boil over. And by the time it boils over into the streets or by the time it's, quote, you know, they're bold enough to make it known in your face like we don't care anymore, it'll be too late, sir, to stop it then, won't it?
Yeah, well, there's also another big problem now is the alliance between the cartels and also the Middle Eastern elements that are coming in. And they bring with them different technology, different experiences, you know, IEDs and RPGs and things like that. So, you know, the more they work with Middle Eastern types, you're going to get your jihadist camps in Mexico, which we already have, right? So you're going to get more of that. So if you got ISIS cells in Mexico, which is what's really happening, or Al Qaeda cells, then of course they're going to start bleeding over and doing a lot of the same things they do in the Middle East.
All right, guys like you and I, Stuart, we consider ourselves pretty, I don't know what you want to call it, pretty caught up on what's going on, right? Have you been shocked since you've been there that it's worse than you thought, or that? Tell me what you've discovered.
I was actually shocked by it. I mean, I knew it was bad, you know, because I had talked to people that had been on the border. But until you see it with your own eyes, it's just the absurdity of it is just—it's breathtaking. So you really have to see it with your own eyes. This is so wide open and so undefended, and just, you know, when you're there for an hour and you only see two border patrol, they were together in 1 hour, and that's all you see. And that happened in California. It happened here in Texas also. Then you just realize how wide open it really is. And then when you look at the fences and you look at, you know, you can tell thousands of people are climbing over that fence and you see a hiking trail through a rancher's property from all the illegals. You just realize there's no border. There's really, for all intents and purposes, no border. You know, it's just random. If we happen to catch somebody, if we happen to get a call, if we happen to spot them while we're driving around, is what the Border Patrol does. There's no actual border as far as, you know, a picket fence or something or a picket line of guys watching the border. They just drive around, and if they happen to catch one, they catch one.
All right. I know you said for the most part the border agents are good guys. They're doing the best they can. There's just not enough of them. I understand, and I agree with that for the most part. What percent of the border agents are actually part of the cartels on the take, part of the problem? Any idea?
You know,
hold on. I'm sorry. I got a break. Let's take that real quick. We'll come back and have you respond. Is that all right? All right, Stuart Rhodes, ladies and gentlemen, oathkeepers.org. I'm telling you, you want a reality report, they've got it. They're on the border now. They're doing reconnaissance, and they're literally here to help. An action call of duty. What a blessing they are. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
So, you two are real actors, huh?
Well, I was an extra on a soap opera for 3 years.
And I'm best known for starring in cat food commercials.
And you're going to play our parents for how long?
Oh, just during dinner for the next few years, probably until you're both off to college. Your real parents will be back every night at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
Hey, your dad's busy. He's got work, softball, client functions.
Yeah, and your mom, she's got the literary club and play rehearsals. So.
Don't you worry, they'll be back on time.
Otherwise, we get time and a half.
Ka-ching! Okay, according to the script, we're supposed to ask you how your day was.
Yes.
Okay, I guess.
Ooh, is that the best you can do?
I think I want my real parents.
I don't see that in the script.
No ad-libbing, please.
There's no substitute for a loving parent. And when you're really there, you'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, Stuart Rhodes with me, ladies and gentlemen. Oathkeepers.org doing a phenomenal job. They're on the border, eyes and ears for the American people, to say the least. Wow. Would you say this, Stuart? Is this an overstatement? It's almost like the border states are an American civil war, sir.
Yeah, it's a little bit of an overstatement. I mean, this is the thing, is the cartels control the trade across the border. There's still the Border Patrol. There's still, you know, we still have DHS there. So it's you know, they haven't taken over every local town and county. There's a bit of, it's kind of a cold civil war, I guess you could say. There are good guys and bad guys in local law enforcement along the border. Some of them have taken the silver, and they're corrupt, and others are still good to go. It's kind of depends. It's a patchwork. You never know. That's the thing. So that's why, like my local guy here yesterday, Marine Corps vet, he said, hey, you know, I only talk to the Border Patrol or other feds. I don't talk to the local police because I just don't trust them. That's what he said. He doesn't know which ones are good and which ones aren't. That's reality on the border.
Have you talked to a lot of the police? Is there a lot of civilian kind of people that are good people?
Well, it depends where you're at. I mean, so other places that, you know, there's local sheriffs that are hardcore and local cops that are good to go. Then there are places where they're not. And this is the problem with the drugs. This goes back to the 1930s with Prohibition, right? It's big money, and you're going to wind up with even police officers who became a cop for the right reasons eventually succumbed to the temptation to take the money. It's just the way it works. You know, that's reality.
And that's never been any different. What I mean is that's been the case for decades and decades and decades, too.
That's what I'm saying. Prohibition was the same way with alcohol. Same thing.
I think the difference now, though, is that we've armed them and trained them and funded them to the point now where it's reaching critical mass and they're busting out and saying, you know what, they're going to thumb their nose at us. Instead of having to act covertly or discreetly, they're just saying, you know what, we don't care anymore. We got enough power. You can't stop us.
Well, I mean, it's not quite there yet. It's not in the States. It's kind of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge on the border. People just turn a blind eye. You know, they know that there's illegals coming across their land and through their towns, and they just don't do anything about it. It's just business as usual. And as long as you don't get, it's kind of like the mob, right? As long as you don't block the boat or get in their way, then you'll be fine. But if you directly confront them, it could be different for you. You know, so the locals tend to like just, well, whatever. It's what happens. I don't care. That's the apathy that happens.
So right. What about?
But it's a patchwork. Some places it's not like that. Some places are hardcore against the illegal alien coming through, and other places they just don't care. And there's some places where they're supported by the local politicos because they're on the political left.
How much is
sanctuary cities, right?
How much is this legitimate economy? I know a lot of people come north every day to go to work, then they go south to Mexico, and they come north and they work, and then they come back and they literally cross. How much of this is legitimate economy versus criminal activity? Do you understand what I mean?
I really don't know. That's beyond my expertise.
And the reason that's important is because, and I'm not saying that I like that. I'm just saying one at least has legitimate trade and legitimate business and legitimate purpose.
Right.
But, versus, go ahead.
Like the local guy here, he said the economy here, he said that the underpinning of it is drugs. Just like the boom in Miami. That's the analogy he made. All the banks and all the big booming that happened in Miami was because of the drug money. The entire banks that were propped up by drug money. Same thing here. That's what he said. And McAllen's the same way. It's the undercurrent of the economy is illicit trade. So there's legitimate trade coming across, but there's also a lot of money in drugs. It's just bottom line, billions of dollars. And it comes right through here, you know,
right
across our border.
What do you predict for the future? Do you think we'll get a handle on this? Do you think we'll curb it, slow it, clean it up? Do you think it'll just get way worse and it'll eventually just be absolute flat-out warfare and not safe on the border? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think the only way it's going to change is if Trump does what he has to do as commander-in-chief, much like Wilson did. He put troops on the border. If he doesn't do that, then I think eventually we're going to wind up with a political domination by the left in this country through the mechanism of illegal aliens, that they either give amnesty or give de facto amnesty by allowing them to vote, like they do in California. You know, give them a driver's license and automatically register them to vote. They don't care if they vote or not. So they don't care if they're illegal or not. I think we'll wind up losing politically. I mean, Texas almost went to the Democrats. You know, Cruz barely held on to a seat. And part of that's because of the illegal votes that are in all these sanctuary cities. It's just reality, man. So I think Trump has a very narrow window of opportunity to handle this militarily. If he doesn't do that, I think we're toast, frankly. So I think we, the American people, need to stand up right now. That's why we're putting boots on the ground. We want to show our support and also encourage him to do the right thing by getting out there ourselves. And if we don't do that, then what excuse do we have? You know.
Amen. Are there any congressmen or senators that are, number one, caught up on the border for reals, and number two, willing to help or do anything?
You know what? I haven't been paying attention to that. I've just been focused on stuff here on the ground. So it's a good question. I imagine there's probably a few. There's you know, probably a handful here and there, but I'm not up on in Washington, D.C.
How about the hunger on the border? Is there a lot of people really hungry? And in other words, a lot of even the caravan people said, hey, you know what? We were lied to. The leader said we could just come up here and then let us in and it'd be cool. And now we hear all that. Is there really a lot of hunger and suffering in that regard on the border?
Well, I haven't been on the Mexican side, but on the U.S. side only. So I'm really not in there to go see that. So, I mean, you know, look, if you got 20,000 people or 10,000 people that just show up in Tijuana and they're just kind of camped out, they don't have any other way of getting food, then yeah, there's going to be a problem. So I can see that turning into a problem. They put themselves there, though. So a lot of them are going back home. I do know that. But just from what I see on the news, I haven't been down there.
Are you guys going to go on to the Mexican side and work that side of things, too?
No. No, thank you. So, you know, look, man, it would take the U.S. military to go do that right. That's what it's going to take. Because we're completely exposed. If we go do anything, we'll be exposed. You know, like you were saying, you got Border Patrol agents that are being charged with crimes just for trying to do their job. Imagine us as volunteers using force. You know, no way. We're not gonna expose ourselves to that. You know, if we're attacked, of course we'll defend ourselves. We're gonna stay on the U.S. side and just be eyes and ears for the Border Patrol. We're not gonna cross over into Mexico.
And not even for reconnaissance.
No, it's not necessary.
Right. This is a Defend America plan, ladies and gentlemen. This is a Protect America plan. This is a get eyes and ears on what's really happening, and then an idea to support and help, and then to provide suggestions and solutions where a difference could be made, right?
Exactly. We're just showing what should be done by the U.S. military. But of course, wherever they're actually at, we won't be there because we don't want to get in their way. But that's not really a problem because they're only in very select places, you know, at the major cross points.
Yeah, it's not a problem because they're nowhere now.
Yeah, I mean, I wish it was a problem. It'd be great. It'd be great to have that problem. You know, there's too many Border Patrol, too many military here. We're just going to get in the way. That's a great problem to have, but that's not what's happening where we're at.
All right, what have I left out? I've kind of done my best to really explore what's happening, to bring up the core issues. What have I left out?
Well, one thing I like to bring up is that there are some people, we've actually gotten some criticism from people on the political right, who should know better. We're like, oh, what are you doing getting in the way? Let President Trump, he's militarizing the border. Let his plan work its way out. And you're just going to get in the way, and the Border Patrol and the military won't know who you are, blah, 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 blah. We're only going where we know they're not. We know that they're not there because we can look and see they're not there, and we also directly contact and coordinate with local Border Patrol. That's what we do. We go down and introduce ourselves and say, hey, we're going to be operating over here. They say, hey, thank you. I'll let my guys know that you're going to be there, what you'll be driving, so my guys know who you are. And here's the number to call in and report what you see. And they're happy to have the extra eyes and ears. They know we're not just trying to do their job, or they're just force multipliers with additional eyes and ears. And they have local ranchers who call them all the time and say, hey, six of them just crossed my fence. And they want that kind of local intel. All we're doing is providing additional intel. So for those, the naysayers out there, like, oh, you're going to be a bunch of yahoos running around the border, getting in the way of the Border Patrol. No, it's not what we're doing. Our guys are squirrely enough to know better than to just go run around like chickens with their heads cut off. We're going to go down and figure out whether or not, fill in the holes, and go to the areas where the Border Patrol's not at.
Well, and it's important to understand who the Oath Keepers are, who makes up the Oath Keepers, because then you get an idea of their capabilities, their knowledge. When you say that your guys are squared away, it's because who they are, right? Let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, these are military and police officers. Like, I was airborne reconnaissance when I was in the Army, so I have a pretty decent handle on what it means to run a recon mission. We got guys that have way more training than I do who are special forces, and we also have a lot of very experienced law enforcement officers. And so, they're not stupid. And we're also not just going to throw a bunch of bodies on the border. We're going to be primarily focused on air and then select ground operations depending upon the need. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. And we'll just adapt to the situation. But the main thing we're doing is maximizing our manpower. And one of the best ways is to put a good trained observer up with a pilot in the air.
Amen to that, ladies and gentlemen. Oathkeepers.org. Stay there, Stuart, because I got a couple more questions about how to participate. And I want to talk about these farmers, these ranchers, these people who have been there for a long time, and they've kind of buried their head in the sand and given up. Let's talk about that, because I think some training and some support could maybe have them change their minds. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. Stuart Rhodes, president of Oathkeepers.org.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
It used to be that immigrants coming north, ladies and gentlemen, would politely ask for a glass of water on their way. Nowadays, they're getting hostile. They're getting crazy. And the border's getting more and more and more and more militarized by the drug cartels. It's disaster. Ranchers oftentimes have given up, as Stuart Rhodes tells it. Hey, one ranch literally had their fence brought down by too many people climbing on it over and over and over all day long, to the point where they literally built a fence, and then they built this metal bar ladder so folks could come over. They might as well just put a gate in that sucker. But the problem is, these people have given up because they believe no one has their back. And one of the things that the Oath Keepers can do is help educate and train and get ranchers to believe in a cause. That's really part of the mission of good people everywhere, to say, look, let's train the locals to understand that we've got their back, that we can help, that we can make a difference. Don't give up. It's not lost yet. Is that a role you're playing as well?
Well, absolutely. We do have some ranchers who have given permission for us to be on their property. And yes, I mean, we're organizing them and their neighbors to be, I guess you can call it a neighborhood watch on steroids among the ranchers. That's one of our goals. And I mean, they do some of this already. They help each other out. But when it comes to the legal alien population and the incursions on their ranches, we want them to, you know, same thing, be eyes and ears for the Border Patrol and watch out for each other. And but if they feel there's any danger to their family, then they want protection. We'll be there for them. Absolutely.
All right, USA Today, and I don't like a lot of the reporting they do, but once in a while they have a good story or whatever else. They talk about how much more violent the border has become over the years. And the headline is, Border Ranchers in a World Without a Wall, USA Today. And I think that's what we're talking about here. We've got to put real security in place. This is not about racism. This is about good Americans saying we want to help our government. So when they tell you we're anti-government, they lie. This is about good people saying, look, we want to support. We want to help. We want to be the eyes and ears. We want to cooperate. We want to make a difference. We have an oath that we've made, and we want to keep it. Stuart?
Yeah, exactly. So we'll do what we can. But, you know, like I said, we feel honor-bound to apply our training and our skill sets where we can, in the way that can do the most good. And that's why we've focused on air assets. And, you know, I'll go up as an observer. I'm not a pilot, but if a good pilot will fly me, I can observe from the air and spot and report. And so there's other guys that have observation training also. Or if you're just young with a good set of eyes, we'll train you how to observe. So I think we have an obligation and duty to do what we can. And so those of you out there who want to volunteer as an observer, you know, please go to volunteers@oathkeepers.org, whether you're a pilot, you want to sit as an observer in the passenger seat, or whether you want to volunteer to be on the ground, go to volunteers@oathkeepers.org and email us. Our website has a call to action on it. Go to oathkeepers.org. It's right at the top of the page. You can go look at it and read it. You can email us at volunteers@oathkeepers.org if you want to volunteer to help out. And we're also looking for drone pilots, too. If you're a drone operator, got your own drone that can be used for surveillance on a ranch, that's a big game changer also. We can use you for sure.
Everybody's got a role to play, ladies and gentlemen. I guess I'm the armchair quarterback guy. I sit in my office, you know, sad to say. You know, but the point is, we all got a role to play. Some people can report by writing articles. Some people can report on the radio. Other people can be silent observers. Other people can be pilots and observe from the air, on the ground. Other people can be involved in logistics and communications. Other people might have plenty of money and they run a business and they can put some cash into the mix. Everybody's got a role to play, Stuart.
And we also need some people that have really good, camera skills and video skills too, so to go out with us and document all this. So if you're an amateur videographer, want to jump in and bed with us, then give us a call. You know, same thing. Email us at volunteers@veterans.org. And if you're a rancher and you want help on your ranch, or a landowner somewhere along the border, same thing. Email us and put landowner in big block letters at the top, so we know who you are and what you're looking for. And we'd be happy to help you.
How do you guys have enough funding and stuff? Are people, do they have places to stay? Are people sleeping outside? What kind of an experience is it?
We do all the above. So it all depends on the locals. You know, we rely heavily on the local ranchers to help our guys out. But, you know, our people also bring their own tents. So it just kind of depends.
All right. There's a lot going on, ladies and gentlemen. What I want to do is have you back, Stuart, to kind of report on the progress. How long are you going to be down there? Any idea?
The next few days I'll be in Texas, and then I'll probably be heading to another border state. So I'm just moving around and making sure things are getting set up. So organizing the, you know, I want to put eyes and ears on the ground, make contacts with locals. They're invaluable for intelligence, obviously. And then square away our pilot system. So we're doing in Texas. And then we'll all be back to California or Arizona probably.
All right, so you got what? California, Arizona, Texas, New Mexico.
Yep, those are your border states. We'll be in all of them.
Wow,
already are actually. So we're getting it set up in each one of these states.
All right, let's go back to Tijuana for a second because it's the most heavily focused on, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the lie is what they're not saying about the rest of the border. But the other part of it is, how much of it is staged photo ops? Have you guys been able to kind of monitor that? In other words, I've seen this lady with her two kids in diapers and stuff, as if they walked this whole way half nude with no shoes on. And I mean, it's just crazy talk, right? It's a set up photo op.
Yeah. When you have so-called refugees with all kinds of TV cameras with them, let's let you know the reality. And like the retired Border Patrol agent said, like, any of them could have gone to any consulate in any part of Mexico and applied for asylum. You don't got to go all the way to the U.S. border to apply for asylum. So it's a big photo op. It's a big media manipulation is all it really is. And then, of course, there's a map showing, you know, people have done this. Like, wait a minute, why did they walk all the way to San Ysidro when they could have gone to Brownsville? It's about 1,000 miles shorter. What would you want to walk, you know, in quotes, walk all the way to California? It's because that's where the wall is, and they want to go there. And like I said, I think it's because they want to show the wall, keeping out these poor refugees who just want asylum and want to demonize the wall. They want those optics. That's what they got. That's why they marched them all the way to California. It was for those optics, I think.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I think a lot of them, though, they didn't march to the border. We kind of get this idea that they walked all the way. Most of these people got picked up by trucks and buses and all kinds of stuff. They got driven here.
Yeah. That's what I said in quotation marks. You know, why would you walk, in quotes, all the way there? They got bussed there. But, yeah, it's because that's the photo op place. That's what they wanted. They want to maximize the photo op. They want to say, you know, here's Trump, this mean, you know, he's a big meanie, and his wall is a big meanie wall, keeping out these poor refugees who just want a better life, and they're fleeing, you know, state oppression in Honduras or violence in Honduras. That's what they want. They want the optics of that. So the wall looks bad. And they were probably hoping for, you know, even more heavy-handed response by the Trump administration. So they can say, well, see, look, this is the militarized fascist America that Trump represents. And the wall is, you know, and that's what they're saying, right? You can see them on the news. You know, a wall like this is not in our character. It's not in keeping with our finest traditions, blah, 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 blah. It's like, come on, man. It's just another way to secure your border. It's a tool like any other tool.
How do we not show too heavy of a hand where the mainstream press can take advantage of it and manipulate it wrong, but yet do the good job? Is there a balance we could do? I think part of it is honest reporting, right?
Well, sure. I think the Border Patrol did a pretty good job. When they had rocks being thrown at them, they finally resorted to tear gas. I mean, you can't blame them. What do you want them to do? You know,
I think they should have shot back. Personally, that's what Donald said they were going to do in the first place.
Yeah, but you can't do that. I mean, look at the optics. Would you want that, really? I mean, women and children being shot?
I wouldn't want women and children being shot, no. That's why I would put basically troops that would have been in Mexico that would have ferreted out who the good guys were for the bad guys at the beginning and never let the bad guys ever get to the border. But once there's bad guys at the border, I'd simply say, get your children out of the way, because if they literally harm our people, we are going to shoot back. We will take this seriously, and we will gain the upper hand, and we'll do it now. So if you've got women and children here that really want asylum, get back. Do it right. Because we're going to basically take this seriously. We can't have criminals. We can't have terrorists. We can't have gangbanger, you know, whatever thugs. We can't have communist agitators on our border, literally breaching our sovereignty. We're not doing that. And I'm telling you, if you assault our people, we will take action. That's what they do in the American streets. Hey, a black guy doesn't do what he's supposed to, and the cop just shoots him, buddy. It happens in America. Why can't it happen at the border?
Okay. Well, but the problem is that there is no border. So it's a kabuki theater again. So if you're going to have a kabuki theater dance, I think they handled it right. They used tear gas. Some of them used beanbag rounds or rubber bullets. And they handled it properly.
And by the way, let's be clear. I'm not advocating for violence, and I'm not advocating to kill innocent people. What I am saying is we need to take this seriously, though. We need to realize these are enemies of anything that we hold
dear.
They're
coming across all over the border by the thousands. Over thousands of miles of wide open border. So everyone's focused on San Ysidro. We've got to keep these people out because they're dangerous. They're laughing in their sleeves at us. I mean, all of them are. All the Soros functionaries, all the NGOs, all of them are laughing at us because they know that every day there are thousands going across the border all over the place. It's a joke. It's a huge joke. It really is.
And let's be clear. I'm not calling for violence, but what I am calling for is to say we need to take off the gloves. We need to teach the American people this is not a game. Okay, this is not a political, oh my gosh, you need to be a humanitarian on the border. Look, these are criminals that want to do us harm, folks. And we need to articulate that to the American people and take decisive action to stop it. And don't let them put women and children in the mix. It's kind of like if someone's robbing a bank and they're like, well, you don't want to stop them from robbing the bank. They got their kid with them, right? Wait a minute. Hold on. Okay, we're going about this all wrong at some point. We're not taking it seriously. We're not articulating what the reality is on the ground. And if we're not going to do it, then we're going to lose the discussion every time. Because they'll just take pictures of babies and diapers and go, you don't want to hurt the babies, do you? Okay, well, they're playing political games. Let's take off the gloves and say, hey, these are criminals. And if kids are involved with criminals, you know what? You need to, hey, man, get megaphones and say, get your kids back now. Because these people are harming our people. They're literally creating war on the border, and we're not going to tolerate it. Well, am I crazy?
Well, no, I'm just saying that this is the battle of optics, and I think what they've done so far has been good when it comes to that. But what's missing is the reality that the rest of the border is wide open and needs to be sealed, and so he needs to put troops there. He should do that now. He needs to do that, but he should do it in a way that gives him the flexibility to, and they should be able to use tear gas if they need to. And our troops can do that. They did that in other countries. They've done it all over the world. So there's a time and place for tear gas and other bullets, and there's a time and place for real bullets. It just, that's up to the people on the ground to do what they have to do under the circumstances. So I'm not going to fault them for using rubber bullets and tear gas. I think they did a good job, but they just need to understand that the rest of the border is wide open. And that's what we all have to get through to President Trump. I don't think he realizes it. I don't think he knows. I really don't. Well, I think he looks at that and says, okay, I sealed the border. I stopped, you know, I ordered this port of entry to be closed, that port of entry to be closed. I ordered troops down there. Here's what my briefing shows. Oh, we stopped the caravan. I don't think he realizes the extent of how ridiculous it is every friggin' day. A caravan like that comes across every day.
Imagine, ladies and gentlemen, me being radical and Stuart Rhodes being the voice of reason. How do you like that, folks? No, I'm not suggesting that we just start murdering people. I don't mean that at all. I just mean we need to take this serious. It's not a game. And when I hear that they're just literally taking pictures of babies in diapers and the border leaks like a sieve and there's literal hardcore sex traffickers coming in that might try to steal my daughter, I start to say, hey, man, this ain't no joke, folks. Let's start to get serious here. And how that ought to really be carried out, I'll leave it to more educated, experienced minds than my own. But I am trying to articulate a point that I think can't be lost on the American people. Final word's yours, Stuart. 10 seconds, sir.
Yeah, push the president to deploy the troops. That's what he has to do. nothing else really matters at this point.
That's Godspeed, brother. Keep me posted. Oathkeepers.org. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.